Now look who's here. It's Mike Boddicker. And let me tell you this, Mike Boddicker. This show today, did you know there was a clown in studio? I'm not talking about Nate. I'm talking about an actual clown. Or me.
Lee-Zak
come
in?
No, Lee-Zak wasn't there either. There was an actual Chuckles the Clown. Chuckles the Killer Clown. We left that part out because we don't want to intimidate Nate.
Nate doesn't like
We had a werewolf, Chucky the Doll.
Nice.
Rat Man, they were all here in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike DeCourcy taught college basketball, which was very, very good. And we just had a lengthy discussion with Gary Pinkel.
Yes.
Which, and if you want to get the book, 100 Yard Journey for any Mizzou football fan or really anyone that enjoys sports. Very interesting read. And so great job by Jake booking the show and Nate not leaving when the clown was here.
Well, the interns almost let the clown into the studio.
Well,
and that
that's all.
Gotten ugly.
They'll get their money later. I mean, they'll get scolded later. Mike Boddicker, and hold on. Let me see. Okay, we just got the AL wildcard game just ended. So it's official. The Yankees the Yankees win.
Holy cow.
Can you believe it lasted over 12 hours? That's a long game.
It seemed like it, didn't it?
It was 3 hours and 51 minutes.
I tapped out. I said, I'm done.
I did, too.
I can't
after
watch
the seventh,
anymore.
I tapped out, too. I no.
At least there weren't very many pitching changes
there,
early.
Well, once it was a bullpen thing where they had to face the Yankee bullpen, they weren't going to score.
I got...
Which was the first inning, actually.
I got cocky when Luis Severino was chased, and it was a 3-0 lead. Okay, the Twins are going to win. All right, screw the Yankees. And then Gregorius tied it and it was over.
Yeah. Yep.
Stupid.
Yeah,
Yankees?
Yankees are way too strong for them. I mean, Minnesota's got a nice young team. You look at their core group and
that catch that Buxton made.
Hell of a catch, yeah.
They got hurt. But,
they got a nice young team. You look at the core thing. They're pitching.
No, they need to go out.
They need to find some pitching.
Yeah, spend some money on pitching in the offseason.
Yeah.
And this was without Miguel Sano, who was left off the wild card roster, and so you put him in a much different lineup. You put him in the middle of that lineup, and who knows what happens. But now the Yankees face the Indians. What kind of shot do you give them against Cleveland?
Oh, very good shot.
Come on,
they do. I mean, that's you look up and down the Yankee lineup. It's a scary lineup. It really is. Arm wise. I don't understand how these young starting pitchers for the Yankees do not just blow people away. I mean, you just look at everybody and go, gosh, how do they lose?
Okay, so the way the Indians' rotation, they have it set up, they're going to go with Trevor Bauer game
Bauer
one,
first, which is
and then
odd,
Kluber but, two,
yeah.
And then they're going to go back to Kluber game, and they're going to have I think Tomlin is going to pitch game four, but he'll be available in relief early on. But then they're going to go back to Kluber game five. So Bauer's going to have game one and then Kluber two and five. What do you think of Bauer going game one?
I would go with my best. I'd go with Kluber. I'm sorry. I'd like to get that first one under my belt if I have a chance.
So you think that's important psychologically?
I do. I really do. I mean, that's...
Does that surprise anyone?
It surprised me. It really did.
But he gets 2-5.
I understand that. I understand that. But gosh, I'd like to win that first one.
But maybe if you
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to question.
I just found that interesting. I wanted to ask you about that. Now,
see, I'm going to try to look at Bauer's. He pitched pretty well down the stretch.
Oh, Bauer had a stretch where he was unhittable.
In August, he had a 2.31 ERA, and in September,
he was good. They were all
9 ERA. So he's coming off back to back.
No, he was terrific.
They were all
but it's
good.
Kluber
down the stretch. They were. Yeah. I mean, everybody was good. So
shoot, they won 20 what games?
Yeah,
in a row?
Yeah. They were.
Clevenger was fantastic.
But the Yankees aren't. The Yankees are scary, man. They really are.
Do you? Okay, so
and that's a strong bullpen.
You understand?
Yeah, but.
The background with Nate and Zach Greinke.
Yes, I do. I understand. He stole his coffee.
Well,
yeah.
And Nate is, he's not going to say it as strongly as I will, but he does not want Zach Greinke to pitch well tonight at all. And he's just,
me either.
So you're against
I'm not
him.
A Greinke fan, no.
So please, okay, so I was going to tell you either talk to him or agree with him. So Tell me why you will be rooting against Zach Greinke. Because it was
interesting. He wanted out of here. Friday, he did not want to pitch here.
Okay, so Friday, it was fun. Sorry. It was funny. I was out of the game when he started last Friday. And there were a bunch of fans that just still love him. And the signs and thank you. And
well, yeah, because we got a lot of great players for him.
Some of them are being smart asses saying thanks for Kane and Escobar.
Yeah.
But other people people still love Greinke. I could take him or leave him. I was never that big of a Greinke fan.
No, I'm neither.
And so I'm just curious, like, why don't you care for Zach Greinke?
Just the way he carried himself. And he really didn't want to be in Kansas City. He said that right from the get-go. When he says, "Well, I won't really try as hard."
Yep.
I was done. I'm sorry.
Yep.
If I'm playing for Poughkeepsie, I'm trying my hardest every time I go out there. Yeah. You know,
did you ever play for Poughkeepsie?
I would have.
Mm-hmm. And you'd have tried hard.
I would have.
And so you were done with him when he said that.
Yeah. Once he said, "Well, I'm not going to try my hardest," I'm going get rid of him. I'm done.
What kind of competitor are you?
Yeah, that,
you know,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Hard for me to focus. It's hard for me to try my hardest when I know we're not going to win.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, set aside the fact that you're getting paid millions of dollars. What kind of a competitor are you?
That's what did me in right there.
He wasn't going to try,
I'm going.
I do empathize with his, you know, social anxiety disorder. And because I've. This would surprise you because I do a lot of public events and things, but I have battled that. I mean, I'm extremely OCD. That will surprise no one. But
didn't shock me at all.
I used to suffer from horrible panic attacks where a couple of times I had to leave an event and leave somewhere because I was freaking out. And people don't understand it, and people don't. And I'm not saying I had the same thing or the same issues to the extent of Zach Greinke, but. You can get ostracized because people don't understand, like, what are you talking about?
I understand what he was going through, Steve.
But that makes him kind of he's kind of socially awkward, too.
He is socially awkward.
Maybe because of that,
everything,
no?
All that stuff with him leaving and, you know, I can't wrap my head around what you go through. But to come out and say, well, you know, we're not good enough. I'm not really going to try. He wanted out of here. I'm going, seriously? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just not a Greinke fan.
And look, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what it's like to be in his shoes. You know, when it comes to the personal interaction stuff, we laugh and joke about the time he stole my coffee. I thought it was.
I don't think you laugh and joke about it.
A bit of a, you know, like it just was like, dude, really? Like, because I tried to make a joke to him about it later. You know, like, hey, did you get the wrong coffee today? Yeah, yours. It was terrible. No, like, hey, sorry about that, or, you know, make a joke about it or anything. It just, like, walked right past. It's like, what a jerk. Now, maybe a social anxiety disorder just makes it difficult to interact with people. And it makes it hard to joke and laugh or, you know, just whatever. Just be friendly. And I get that. So I don't – that's not why – but the part for me is what you said. The part for me that roots – I guess against him, you know, that doesn't want to see him. He didn't think he could win here, and so it wasn't worth his time.
Yeah, exactly.
He signed a contract a couple years before that because he thought they could win. And so he was willing to take the millions of dollars in the guaranteed contract. And here's my thing about when it comes to baseball. And look, I was pretty unpopular around here because I was kind of against the Royals. I didn't feel like the Royals owed Salvador Perez a renegotiated contract. In Major League Baseball, you get guaranteed contracts. You sign for that money. It is secure. It's guaranteed. You can go in the tank. You can be Alex Gordon right now and one of the worst players in all of Major League Baseball and still get your $72 million no matter what. And the benefit to the players is that they get that money guaranteed. That's why you don't see players in Major League Baseball hold out the way they do in the NFL, because they know that's the flip side of it. Sometimes, if you sign early and go for that guaranteed money, you're going to outperform the money that you're making.
Right.
You know, and he signed. He took that guaranteed money from the Royals. He thought it was good enough for him to take that money and to pitch here. And then as soon as things went south and the team wasn't good enough, well, it's not worth my time to give my best effort. Man, forget that. I'm getting wound up again.
He had no issues in L.A. He had no issues in Phoenix.
Now you're wound up.
I mean,
You know,
say go Rockies, both of you. Just go ahead and
go
say
Rockies,
it.
Go Rockies, man.
Yeah.
Go Rockies. And once you play your contract out, you want to go. I have no ill will towards Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, assuming they all leave. I have no ill will whatsoever. They've earned their free agency. It's their right to go get their next guaranteed contract, and it's their opportunity. They have a limited window of opportunity to go get that money. But if you sign a contract that is guaranteeing you money, go fulfill your obligation.
Do your job.
Do your job.
Do your
job. And if you want to talk to behind the scenes,
to do
and,
your
hey,
job,
man,
you go
know
do
what?
Your job.
I'd be happier and you'd be happier. Let's do this. But to come out, maybe you just handled it wrong, but to come out and say it's not worth my time to try that hard, that's when I was
not good.
Forget that. And then stirred also
stirred up a hornet's nest.
And
there
now,
you go.
He accidentally helped the Royals out by also vetoing trades they tried to make. So not only did
to the Nationals, right?
Yeah. Not only did he put them in a position where, well, we got to trade the guy because he's going to tank if we don't. So now everybody knows that we have to trade him. So that hurts his trade value. Now I'm also going to veto trades to different cities because I don't feel like it's a fun place for me to play.
Well, thankfully, he didn't veto the trade to Milwaukee.
And accidentally, so, I mean, in the end, he accidentally helped the Royals out tremendously.
And Dayton Moore deserves all the credit in the world for making that trade and acquiring Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain.
He's correct because that was a tough trade for Dayton.
And he got Jake Odorizzi as well.
Yeah.
That was a really tough trade because of where he said he wouldn't go, and I'm not going to play if I have to go here. That makes it difficult. I mean, Dayton had limited options.
Well, let's transition into Dayton Moore.
Aha.
The next time he makes a trade, will it be on behalf of the Royals or the Braves?
I think it's going to be the Braves.
Well, you son of a...
Think about it. That's where he came from. That's where he basically cut his teeth. And I, to be honest with you, I could see him dragging Ned and J.J. Piccolo with him.
Now, why do you know what?
Well, Ned's from there. He has his farm there. He hunts there. He does all his stuff there. That's his home.
Well, I'm hoping that if Dayton goes, I want J.J. to get the job here.
Dayton will probably be the president down there. J.J. will be the GM. Ned will be the manager.
Hey, can you, Jake, can you go get that? There's a bowl of Cheerios in my office. Can you bring him in here so he can just piss right in them? Right here on the air? Can you?
Absolutely. I might join him.
I'm just giving you the scenario that I think could happen.
I don't like your scenario.
If Dayton Moore leaves, J.J. Piccolo's the general manager of this team.
If this team? Yeah. I think he's going to be the general manager of the Braves. I think Dayton's going to take the president down there, be the president.
We already talked about this yesterday.
JJ, but I don't. I think JJ will be the GM. So why is Ned the manager?
But I don't want that.
Well, nobody wants that, but I think it's realistic.
You think about it.
You don't think Dayton Moore wants to be GM anymore? Is that why?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think he would rather be the president.
He oversees everything. That's a power move.
He can bill whatever he wants to bill without asking anybody, basically. So. If you look at it, you looked at the last two innings of that last game that the Royals played, and that's what they're looking at for next year. Would you come back? I mean, come on. If the opening dream opening comes up, why wouldn't you?
So
take
and
this?
Where they are loaded with young.
They're
talent.
They're loaded with young talent. They've got the people down there, and you look at what the Royals got looking at down there.
Oh, the Braves are getting ready to go on a run.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I hate what you're saying right now.
I understand that. I'm just being.
But no,
do I want Dayton to go? No, because I think Dayton does a great job.
So here's
but
the thing.
But I'm just saying what I think.
Did you listen to Ned on Monday?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't buy it.
Hell no.
What it sounds like.
No.
That was just a sales job by him.
Pretty much.
He sold me.
Well, yeah, you're easy, yeah.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah,
he
played you. He played you big
time. I don't believe much of what I hear, and so I'll take everything I hear with a grain of salt. But he was fairly convincing in this, because I do look at it. I'm like you. I'm like, if, and I asked him it that way.
But
once you've climbed all the way to the top of Mount Everest.
Why do you want to climb it again?
Why would you want to go all the way back to the bottom and then have to, I mean, maybe if you got to start halfway up again.
When you've been up in the balcony, why do you want to go?
Go back to the dungeon. You don't. You know, like
inside
why,
I understand. I'm just saying, what if Dayton takes that Atlanta thing, he's dragging Ned with him.
Well, then Nate gets to be right there in Atlanta.
Oh, he's home.
He's home.
He said he can stay at his farm. I mean, he can do what everyone jump on his tractor.
Why don't you let Nate stay on your farm?
Well, he can, but he never asked. Well, I told him he could.
I can make that happen quick.
Yeah.
What about the whole thing that Ned said, look, if and when we ever leave, we got this whole thing set up, it's going to be an easy transition to other people that are groomed for these jobs. That's immediately I thought, well, that's J.J. Piccolo for Dayton Moore.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the big picture, what I think could happen. J.J. could get a GM job. It could be Atlanta's. That's the thing.
Well, what if JJ says, I like Kansas City, my family likes
Kansas City? Well, that's fine. That could be. I mean,
you love Kansas City?
I do. That's why I'm still here.
But maybe he just, I'm hoping.
Right. If you look at those two organizations side to side, what do you think he's going to take the GM of if he has both options?
Yeah.
I mean, Atlanta's ready to roll.
Hey, we're all speculating. Nothing's been said. We don't even know if Dayton's going. I'm just looking at it and saying, if I. Financially, baseball-wise, if everything was on the table right there, that's an easy call. He goes to Atlanta. He drags everybody with him. Hell, we could see all the coaches that got axed.
It's John Schuerholz all over again.
Mm-hmm. We've seen it before here. We have.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Boddicker in studio. It's a feel-good Wednesday. We'll talk more with Mike Boddicker.
Blame me. Oh, I'm just putting it out there what I see.
That's fine. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, Mike Boddicker, your guess is that Dayton Moore leaves, and your prediction is also that J.J. Piccolo and Ned Yost, they both leave too? Is that your official prediction?
Yeah, I think they will. I don't think Dayton's going to be GM down. I think he's going to be president. And I could see J.J. taking over as a GM and Ned being the manager. And all those coaches that left here that might end up in Atlanta if they got rid of.
And so I assume also that nobody, or at least none of the free agents, will return either.
No.
None of those guys.
No. I could see Moose in Atlanta.
Moose is going to Anaheim. Haas is going to Boston.
It's great.
Lorenzo Cain's from Georgia.
Yeah, there you go. Could happen.
He'd be a great signing for them. He'd be a great signing for them.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
I've been in baseball so long. That's just the way it is, man.
I just went to the Braves page on ESPN. The very first thing on the top is a picture of the smiling Dayton Moore. Who replaces John Coppolella?
Yeah.
So you think you think he might take the coaches that he just let go? The ones that he, like, Wakamatsu?
If Ned goes?
Yeah.
I think it, yeah. Yep.
Anyone that has you excited on the team that's coming back? We know we love Salvador Perez. He's back.
I love Salvador.
I don't think they'll be terrible with Salvador Perez. As long as Salvador Perez is there, because I think he's so instrumental and so important.
He is. Well, that's why they won't lose 100. I don't think they'll lose 100.
Right. Okay. So then, and you've got Whit Merrifield.
Whit is the other guy that, and I think if Cuthbert gets at bats.
So you think Cuthbert would be the third baseman?
Yes. I think if he gets all the at bats he needs to get, I think he's going to hit. Okay. I have a lot of people say, no, he's not going to hit. He's not going to hit. I think he'll hit.
So you think Salvi's catching, Cuthbert third base, Modesty shortstop.
Yeah, I think so.
Whit Merrifield second base. Uh-huh. Who will be the first baseman? I mean, Brandon Moss can play there little bit. But
Moss is the only.
They got a couple of prospects.
They're not ready. And probably Moss, unless they go out and get somebody. Moss doesn't do a bad job at first. He's just not going to hit. I mean, he's going to hit just 25 home runs and hit 210, strike out a whole bunch of times. But
what's the outfield going to be?
Oof.
Gordon.
It's Gordon.
Who's in center field?
Paulo Orlando. Sorry. And then
Bonifacio.
Bonifacio and Wright and Solar is the backup.
No Bubba Starling?
Come on. No. No.
Are you asking? Are you saying no Bubba Starling? Or are you saying no Bubba Starling? Like, what is it? A question or a statement? Like,
no, I was asking. I was asking. It's a legitimate question.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
He's in AAA this year. I know he's been hurt to close out the season.
Hmm.
Why is that any bigger of a joke than Paulo Orlando?
Paulo can actually hit a little bit of major league pitching, and he's been here enough. And contributed enough.
Orlando batted 198 at the major league level this year, yep, with a 225 on base and a 302 slug.
Mm-hmm. That's still better than you're going to get from Bubba Starling.
You don't think he can hit 198?
No.
With a few home runs?
No.
Like, what do you think he could hit?
I have no idea. I don't expect
much. You just
much.
Asked me, and I said no.
No, him. Like, yeah. If you're surprised by that.
What did Paulo hit down in AAA?
I mean, in 2016, in 454 at-bats, he did hit 302.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he can play a decent center field.
He's fast.
Fast. Cover some ground. You look down in the minor league system, and there's a few kids. The lower minor leagues.
They got a kid in double A that's a good outfielder, but I've been told he's more of a right fielder than center fielder.
Yeah,
Khalil Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bring him.
You might see him.
Bring him along.
Heck yeah.
Not yet. But,
if he can, yeah. That was part of the deal with Mondesi. He wasn't ready to be here. He wasn't ready. Am I saying, I don't know. I don't know if he'll hit here.
Paulo Orlando hit 306 in the minors this year.
Yeah.
375 on base.
In 2016, Bubba's slash line at AA and AAA was 183, 235, 298. This year, in half a season at AAA, about 278 at-bats, slash line of 248, 303, 381. So what would that translate into? And by the way, everyone
and he
was,
had a hot, good hot streak.
Everyone was, yeah, thrilled because, I mean, his average did jump. It was a 248, and his average jumped 60 points. But so, like, what does that translate into?
Into the big leagues? And that's what makes it tough. He's capable of playing center field in the big leagues. The kid's an athlete. He can cover ground, tremendous ground, catch the ball, got a decent arm. He's not going to hit here, boys. And that makes it difficult when you got a lot of other guys who are not going to hit here. Got to find some way to score some runs. We had a tough enough time this year with real players. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you take Eric Hosmer.
Oh my gosh, Moustakas out of the lineup.
That's a scary, bad. Yeah.
I mean, that's
a scary bad offense.
It is. Think about it.
I don't want to right now.
And we didn't score that much this year.
No,
majority of the time.
It wasn't a great offense, even with those guys.
Even with those guys. So.
And the guys you would like to flip and turn into some, trade. You can't trade Gordon's contract.
No.
If Kennedy doesn't opt out, you can't trade his contract.
Nope.
The only guys you could trade for value would be Salvador Perez. And I'm sorry, I still don't want anything to do with that because you need him to help develop the pitchers. And
he's
give us something.
Yeah.
Good God,
I love Salvador. You got to keep Salvador no matter what.
Danny Duffy.
I'd trade Duffy in a heartbeat to get something. Yeah, you gotta get some players here. You gotta have some.
Or would you keep him?
The Royals finished 13th out of 15 teams in the American League in runs scored this year.
Yeah,
stop
with
bragging.
All those guys.
Yeah, with those guys.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what and you're telling me that Dayton and Ned and I'm sorry, I. That's and even JJ, that'd be a tough uphill battle to get this back, the ship back right.
Danny, I think you bring up a really interesting prospect in terms of the idea of trading Danny Duffy. He's under contract for 4 more years.
Yeah.
So somebody would be getting, I mean, because that's one of the things
learned. You could get some players out of him.
The Royals couldn't get much for a lot of these guys' issue when everybody wanted them to sell because they were going to be rental players.
Yeah.
The players that bring in a big return. The reason Zach Greinke brought in a big return, he was controllable, I think, for 2 years when they traded him, you know?
That's how the Nationals, or that's how the White Sox got a big return for Adam Eaton because he was signed until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So Duffy signed. Now, the problem is there's going to be some red flags on Duffy.
Injury, off the field issues.
I mean, teams are going to dig deep into that DUI situation since there's pictures of his SUV and all that stuff out there. Mm.
They'll also dig deep and see a left-hander with electric stuff that every organization and every GM and every manager, they say, you know what?
We've got tremendously consistent stuff,
but we get them here, and that it's the arrogance of, in sports. Every team, every GM, every manager, they sell. Every pitching coach,
bring him here, I can fix it.
And teams are desperate for pitching.
Yep.
Teams are desperate for pitching.
At a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though he's never really come close to 200 innings in a season. Last year he did 179, which is his career high.
You're betting on the upside, and so the question would be, do you keep him as one of the building blocks, since you don't have many building blocks, or you try to flip him and try to get lucky and get more building blocks? Now, he does not have the resume that Zach Greinke did, but Greinke did have some red flags, as we just talked about. And you were able,
Young.
Right. But what was more valuable, keeping Zach Greinke or getting what you got for him?
Yeah,
right.
And you're not going to get that. But at the time, what did we think all those guys were, though? Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain Odorizzi.
We didn't know.
Those guys weren't superstar, can't miss. Blue chip prospects,
but they were
pretty
damn good.
Collection.
They knew they were pretty damn good,
right? But they hit on all of them.
Yeah,
all three of them, because they were able to flip Odorizzi in the deal for James Fields and Wade Davis.
Right. It worked well. That's why Dayton was so good.
But that's the idea. Our draft
is not good.
That's what you're hoping
for. Trades and the other stuff he did, pretty darn good. You're going to miss on a few things, and it's hard to miss when you're a small market. But overall, Dayton was very, very good. While he was here.
He's still here, Mike.
No. Did you see the picture on the internet?
Hey, talk about him in the past tense.
You're talking about keeping Duffy because we got him for 4 more years, right?
Well, I'm asking you what's...
The thing is, are we going to win in 4 years with what we got? No.
I don't know.
No. It's not going to happen. So why would you want to keep him? So trade him and get a bunch of good players. We can build just like we did with the group we traded for.
Just don't say that about Salvi.
Salvi's not going anywhere.
Thank you.
I can't let him go.
Hey, nope. Thank you.
No, Salvi's too good.
Back after this on WHB. I feel like a damn fool.
You are.
For not mentioning this earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to wish everyone here in the studio and listening a very happy National Taco Day.
It is National Taco Day, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
Happy Taco Day.
Taco Salazar.
It was Taco Night at the Bucati household last night, but I guess I'll just have to go ahead and double down.
Yeah.
In fact, that was one of the questions I posed. We play a game of Would You Rather at the dinner table.
Is the answer always Matt Beasler?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to slip up to Tequila Harry's tonight.
The question that I posed my kids last night at the dinner table was, would you rather have to eat tacos for every meal for the rest of your life or pizza for every meal for the rest of your life?
Tacos.
Which is a difficult one, but I go tacos.
Tacos.
Yep. I go tacos.
Tacos. Tacos.
Ah, and man, I need that's rice. That's tough a toss-up right there. That's
I need sopa.
Gosh.
I need... you know, the fixings.
Now I got to decide where I'm getting my tacos today.
I'm text my wife, tell her we're going to T. Harry's tonight.
Tequila Harry's, good place.
Yes, it is. I'm hungry.
If anyone knows of any, I've already seen a couple of any taco specials you feel like I need to know about, at SSJWHB. I got a little bit of time on my hands before I have to pick up the kids. And it's a big day here at Union Broadcasting because today at 3:30 you will be hearing screams and howls of anger as I'll be bringing my kids in.
Oh, I thought that was Keithman.
Wow. I will be. I don't know if he's getting a flu shot, but I'll be bringing my kids in for a for their flu shot today. Did you know that, Nate? Did you remember that? Today's flu shot day.
Oh,
here.
That's right.
Union Broadcasting. And so the kids will see me picking them up at school, get excited. Because normally I pick them up, I'm taking them somewhere. Hey, we're going to the movies. I got, you know, hey, we're going to do a game. And hey, let's go have some ice cream.
Let's
and I'm just going to pick them up.
Get a flu shot.
Where are we going? Don't worry about it. Instead, we'll just sit and be very patient. Uh-huh. And we're going to go out to work and visit some people. And by the time they figure it out, like Phil's fine. Richie's fine. The girls were not. So. But that's fine. Then ice cream afterwards.
It's got to
right?
be done.
Thank you.
It's got to be done.
That's exactly right. Now, Mike Boddicker, your official playoff picks. Now that you've ruined the next 5 years for the Royals fans.
This is all speculation, folks. I'm sorry. I'm trying to throw some stuff around in my mind. And
Indians or Yankees?
I think it's going to be the Indians, but it's going to be a tough one.
But you're picking Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll take Cleveland.
Red Sox or Astros? Come on, Astros.
I got to pick the Sox.
I want Houston.
I do too, but I got to pick the Sox because I think they're a better team overall.
I would, you know what I think is going to be the difference? Or I hope it's the difference. Them acquiring Justin Verlander.
Verlander could be the wild card in this thing. I tell you what, he's.
Look at his damn numbers the last 2 months. You got it over there.
Between Chris Sale and Justin Verlander.
Give me the last 2 months of Justin Verlander.
Stand by.
I want you to get after it.
Justin Verlander has been, is he 4-5-0 with
do you think he'll send a dong selfie to Kate Upton if he wins game one?
Even if he loses.
If he loses.
Either way.
Why not?
That's what you got to do. Who will win tonight's wild card game? John Gray goes for the Rockies. Zach Greinke for the Diamondbacks.
Go Rockies.
You know, Gray's been on fire.
I know that.
Justin Verlander in the month of September had 5 starts. He was 5-0. They 1.06 ERA.
Yeah. He's just been nasty.
43 strikeouts in 34 innings.
No, he's every night out.
Wow.
And that's why, remember that he started to get hot?
In August he was great, too.
We were talking to Buster about it. People were saying, well, you know, you got to give up a lot and take that contract. He's not that good anymore. Like, have you been watching the last month?
Yes.
And then whoever he goes to, they're going to get.
The thing with him is, he went from 93, 94 miles an hour, and then in August, all of a sudden, he was popping 97, 98 on
popping
the black.
Popping what? Popping
some. Hey, well, hey!
Tell you what, he was. His velocity jumped 4 or 5 miles an hour. I went, whoa, what happened? Man, because it was the old
Verlander.
He's really
got some juice on those fastballs is what you're saying.
Yeah, could be. But I tell you what, it was like watching the old Verlander. You remember sitting up there at the stadium, ninth inning, 120th pitch, 99 on the black. And you're going, whoa!
That was what.
That was amazing.
Alex Gordon took a third strike in the game on a 99-mile-per-hour fastball in the lower outside corner. And everybody's mad at him for, you just leave the bat on your shoulder. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, seriously?
He wasn't needing that.
Ninth inning. It was like, whoa! I looked at Nate. I went, did you see that? Yeah. That's the old Verlander.
Cubs or Nationals?
Nationals.
Dodgers or wild card winner?
Wild card winner.
Oh, they're going to be pissed. World Series.
Nationals, Cleveland.
World Champs.
Nationals.
Max Scherzer, World Series MVP?
Yes.
That's Mike
Boddicker.
I'd
make you rest of your day, Steve.
You just did. That is the Border Patrol. That is Mike Boddicker. National Taco Day. Go eat a taco.
Or
that's the plan for me. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.